Straight to the press now. Elitza's joining us today. She's been looking at the Trump administration's deportation efforts. What's the latest in the US press then?
That's right, Stuart. So the Wall Street Journal reported that the detention of this former Columbia University student is likely unconstitutional, according to a U.S. judge. His name is Mahmoud Khalil, and he is a pro-Palestinian activist who became a deportation target after participating in protests. And while the ruling isn't final, it suggests that Trump's deportation efforts will face significant roadblocks in court, according to the article. For now, however, despite the partial ruling, he is still held in a detention center in Louisiana. And actually, I want to draw your attention to another detention center in Louisiana, one of the biggest there. It's the focus of this article by the Washington Post that has quite of a unique angle. In Detention Alley, a small town benefits from big IC facility. IC stands for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And the article says that the deportation center has been an economic win for the town that's called Winfield, where many, many residents there, one-fourth, live in poverty. So people there have had muted criticism of the president's immigration policies, says the article, because they've been happy that more and more of these ICE agents have been getting haircuts, dining and shopping in the town. That's boosting the local economy. The article says that to locals, these people are customers, relatives and neighbors. The Washington Post also cites a local sheriff who said that the benefits of the detention center greatly outweigh the negatives. And let's take a look at this NBC News exclusive article that helps us better understand the deportation numbers. It says that the Trump administration has ramped up deportations, but is still far below the pace it wants. The article says that in April alone, the ICE deported more than 17,000 people. But Trump is still far behind his Inauguration Day promise when he said that he wants to deport millions and millions. He is also far behind Barack Obama. He set a record in 2013 when he deported 430,000 people in a single year. So if Donald Trump wants to catch up, he has to deport twice more people per month, a striking number.
Another US politics story for you. Elon Musk mentioned this in the news, officially quitting the Department of Government Efficiency. I suspect the papers may have something to say on this.
Indeed. So the Financial Times reported on Musk stepping down after 5 months in office. Musk originally wanted to stay with Dodge until next summer, according to the Financial Times. But he announced that he's stepping down on Twitter. Let's take a look what he wrote. He thanked President Donald Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending, says Musk, and he adds that the Dodge mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. And now let's take a look at this exclusive CBS interview with Elon Musk that comes right before his announcement that he's stepping down. That's when Elon Musk said that he's actually disappointed by Trump's domestic policy bill that's dubbed the Big Beautiful Bill Act. According to Musk, Donald Trump's bill only increases the budget deficit and undermines the work of Dodge.
Yeah, perhaps some tension behind the scenes then. So what's next then for Elon Musk?
Well, it's not quite clear what's next, but I have here this very interesting article by the Washington Post that says that Tesla wants Musk's attention back after he was so focused on politics. The Washington Post reported that Tesla investors are asking the board to make Musk work full-time, or that's 40 hours per week. The paper says that investors are frustrated over Musk's role in the US government, and they say that his work there had an effect on the brand's sales and reputation.
Finally, Alyssa's going to take us to Japan now. The country is celebrating a new sumo champion. What are the papers saying on this one?
That's right. So here is our new sumo champion. He's called Onosato Daiki, and he's the first Japanese man in 8 years to be named a Yokozuna, or that's a grand champion in sumo. The Japanese Times says that it's a historic rise to Yokozuna, and it's just the beginning for Onosato. And of course, sumo is Japan's national sport. It's quite important for the Japanese, but it has been dominated by Mongolians. So let's take a look how he decided to celebrate with two very big fish. Big fish for the big fish.
Why not, I suppose? Why not? Food. It's all about sumo, isn't it? Elitza with the papers on France 24.